Welcome back, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. You can find more at our website. Go to morrisinvest.com. Today, we are taking your questions. This is our Q&A episode where you are able to leave us a voicemail question right there on our website, and we try to answer it here on the show. There's a microphone icon on the right side of your screen. When you go to morrisinvest.com, just click on that and leave us a question. So I hope you guys had a wonderful start to the year. We are in the first week of January here, January 8th, and we are gearing up for an amazing spring in the real estate market. It's going to be very interesting to see these interest rates continuing to drop. I saw a prediction from our friends over at the Trends Journal over the past few hours. In fact, my friend Gerald Salenti believes that home prices are going to surge this year. Real estate is going to be bonkers crazy, according to Gerald. And look, I've been predicting that since we started to see what was happening at the end of 2023. So again, 2024 is going to be a crazy year for real estate. I think we are so much pent-up demand right now. It's going to be exciting to see what happens. Of course, prices are going to go up. There's going to be bidding wars and all of that craziness. So, but we have such a demand for properties across the United States that it's going to be crazy. And builders ramping things up again. So get ready, guys. Hold on to your hats. Hold on to your hats. Anyway, all right, let's get into your questions today. We got some really good questions, and I want to get right into them here. Let's start with our first one.
Hello, Mr. Morris. I'm here in California, and I have a little dilemma here. I have bought a duplex with my VA loan. My daughter, wife, and I are currently living in one of the units, one bed, one bath, while we rent out our two bed, two bath unit. And it's not fully getting cash flow yet, not until we rent out our unit. But my dilemma is my equity home loan was a rough estimate of $42,000. And I'm debating either to use that on my debt of $27,000 or purchase a single family home for my family, or use the Fannie Mae program and purchase a second multifamily home. I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. And the VA loan is a powerful, powerful tool for veterans and those serving who can build wealth. I mean, think of, you can build wealth using this mechanism, right? A 0% loan, 0% down. I mean, it's like, it's amazing, right? This loan. So you've done the best possible thing here, which I've talked about on this show for many, many years. If you're a veteran and you can get a VA loan, you know, why would you buy a single family, right? If you want to start building real estate wealth, maybe buy a quadplex, a triplex, or a duplex, and you bought a duplex, okay, and you're living in one unit on one side, you're renting out the other. Now, I was a little confused because you said, we're not really getting cash flow until we'd rent out our unit, the one we live in. That didn't make much sense to me. What do you mean? So if you're renting out the other side of it, why is that not when cash flowing? And I understand maybe mortgage rates and so forth. Maybe you mean that it's not fully covering your total mortgage, although it should, in theory, right? Your mortgage should be covered by the rent you're bringing in from that other side. So you're basically living rent-free in that property because the tenant in the other unit is paying your mortgage. But nevertheless, so now you want to move out, okay? Now, the beauty of a VA loan, but you need to talk with a VA loan expert on this. But from my understanding, the VA loan experts we've had here on the show, military experts we've had here on the show. In fact, we'll link in the description to a great book by one of our guests that we've had here, talks about the VA loan program and investing as a member of the military, what that looks like. You're able to use a VA loan for the rest of your life. So you're not just limited to one time using the VA loan. There are certain circumstances where you can even have multiple usages of the VA loan simultaneously. But again, it really comes down to your financial situation specifically. So I can't answer that here just on this call, but you should be able to use it more than one time simultaneously. You can use a VA loan. You could literally buy a home every year for the rest of your life for the next 60 years. You could get a VA loan 60 times if you want. There's no limit to how many times you can use a VA loan. There are some restrictions on how many times simultaneously you can use it. But again, you have a VA loan on this property. You've lived there Now you're moving. Okay. Well, you don't need to convert that loan to some other kind of a loan. It still stays a VA loan. And now you're going to go find another property, which you can use a VA loan for. So again, talk with a VA loan expert on this. But from all of my experience and all of my research on this, unless some law has changed, and unless there's some restriction based on your own personal financial situation or the amount of time that you've served in the military, there are different structures based on that, okay? But I can't answer that for you because I don't know your length of time serving and all of that stuff. So definitely talk to a VA loan expert on that. But I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to use, you know, save that duplex that you've got, right? Now you're renting out both units. You're building wealth using a VA loan. It's amazing. Now you go buy another unit using a VA loan. Rinse and repeat. But I may consider wanting to pick up another duplex. You know what I mean? Why go to a single family? Maybe you want to go to a triplex. I'm just saying, think about how you can continue to use this VA loan over and over for a few years, picking up a number of properties, and then maybe you go and get your single family down the line. Totally up to you. Or you rent a single family. Now you're renting a single family with the cash flow that you're bringing in from your units. I mean, that's really what I would do personally, is not buy a single family home mortgage, but instead I would use the equity and the position of the cash flow from those other rental properties to live financially free, basically in rent free, in a rental property that I would buy. Rent a property, you know, find a single family home that you want to rent and use the cash flow from your duplexes to live in there. And then if you move in a few years, well, you don't have to deal with trying to sell it, just a rental, you can move and you don't have to worry about repairs and taxes and all of those other things. So some things to consider, you know, the thing is, owning your own home is not a performing asset. So you'd be moving from a performing asset now as a duplex with a VA loan to a non-performing asset. Something to consider there. So anyway, I love the question though. Good for you on that. All right, our next question.
Hello, Clayton, Sean. I know Morris Invest does good work locating cities to put these build-to-rent communities in. But can you tell me what the vacancy rates are in your high density build to rent communities, just strictly for Morris Invest? I'd like to know more information on that, because I wouldn't be able to carry a mortgage for several months while the property is vacant or not being rented out. If you have any information on what your vacancy rates are in your build to rent communities, please let us know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate the question. So you're right. We research areas before we ever start building in those areas. So our team at Morris Invest, along with Sidera Wealth, our developer team, we are spending well over a year, if not longer, looking at all of the demographic data before we start building. So in West Texas, for instance, where we are, Lubbock, Texas, right? What we're looking at there for our builds and our properties in those regions is we're analyzing ahead of time to make sure that the development have a 95 to 96% occupancy rate. Okay. That means that 95 to 96% of the units are occupied. And then you're going to have about a 4 to 5% vacancy rate. And that is where our target is right now. And of course, that's, you know, we always try to, the property management team loves to be lower than that. So 4 to 5% in our markets, because we are in high growth areas where the jobs are growing, where the demand for properties is there. And really the only reason a property should be sitting vacant for any length of time is if there's a tenant turnover in the property and we have to get in there and they have to do paint and carpet, the, you know, touch up, that type of thing. But there should be a line of people waiting to rent a property, and to make sure that we're getting a qualified tenant in the property. That's also very, very important. So yeah, 4 to 5% vacancy rate is what we see in our markets. Again, with about a 95 to 96% occupancy rate. So I hope that helps, Sean. Our next question.
Hi, Clayton. It's Dave from Vermont. Just wanted to offer this quick question regarding the pending world banking crash that is looming. Robert Kiyosaki speaks at great lengths about it. If we are going to take advantage of this new and future boom in the U.S. market with interest rates going down, what happens if there is a global banking crash? Would they call the loan? Would there even be a bank to pay? How does it affect anything, anyone with a mortgage?
Okay, well, certainly scary times. And I know Robert, and Robert's a good friend, and I've seen him talk about these. He's talked about stock market crashes and collapses and so forth. And if you look at sort of the timeline, they just haven't come to pass. So, but I think he's talking about some very interesting fundamentals that are there. And he's absolutely right about a couple of key fundamentals there, is that we are, globally $300-some trillion in debt. And these central banks are just printing money and they're sitting on massive amounts of debt. So what do these central banks want ultimately? Is to own all of it. They want to own the first part of the transaction and they want to own the backside of the transaction. That's what these central banks want. They want total control. And so a lot of these smaller banks, of course, will die off, and they are already dying off. So Robert's correct about that. And we certainly saw what happened to Silicon Valley Bank and others, some of these smaller credit unions and stuff getting swallowed up. And the government is making sure that these things happen, allowing these things to happen so they can get folded into these larger banks, these larger entities. So there's not, Chase Bank and Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Barclays and these big, the Deutsche Bank, these massive institutions, right? They have tentacles all over the world. And these central banks are controlling these puppet strings. So what happens if these banks collapse? Are you going to have to pay a mortgage? Well, the answer is yes. So if a bank goes bankrupt, you're going to still have to pay your mortgage, because another bank is going to swoop in and swallow it up. And that's exactly what will happen. The central bank might even swoop in and take it over and prop it up and swallow it up. You'll still have to make your mortgage payment. But now, see, the thing is, they have control. What they want is control over us. That's why they're eliminating cash. That's why the European Central Bank is now eliminating cash. They do not want you to, it's illegal, by the way, to use more than 1,000 euros in a transaction in cash. You will be considered on the gray market. Christine Lagarde spoke extensively about that. It's now law in the European Union. You cannot spend over $1,000 in cash. Like, you couldn't pay a gardener or anything like that. No. You'd be considered on the gray market. And they're justifying it as labeling you as a terrorist. That, oh, that's how terrorists operate, using cash. So if you use 1,000 euros, then you're a terrorist. And the United States wants to do the same thing. They want to move to a central bank digital currency. So we're eliminating cash, consolidating power, and the central bank wants to control everything from soup to nuts. So again, if there's a crash, yes, you're going to still have to make payments. How you do that, though, is another question entirely, right? If your bank is gone, who swallowed it up? It's a crazy idea. Right? Because we'll say, well, the FDIC is going to come in and support it, right? At $250,000, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company is going to come in and support your debt. Well, they don't have any money either. I've done a whole deep dive report on how the FDIC is an emperor with no clothes. They don't have the money. They don't have the money to support the trillions of dollars in transactions, $7 trillion. If there's a run on the banks, they couldn't handle it. They wouldn't be able to, because the money supply is not there. So where are they going to get the money? Well, guess what? The central bank, the Fed, will print more money. It's all fake money anyway. So again, yes, you will still have to pay your mortgage. The Fed, the central bank, the consolidation of power, this is exactly what they want, total control. And it's all part of the plan. I mean, this is what the World Economic Forum wants. But in the meantime, yeah, you still have to make your payments. But look, you can live your life in fear of this, or you can make smart strategies and investments for your family now. Or you could sit on a pile of gold in your backyard and safe somewhere. But to me, owning real estate and precious metals is the thing that has sustained for thousands of years. It's not going to change. where you get into weird territories with like crypto and stuff. Because you see what the central banks are trying to do now is to eliminate crypto. They want you to use their central bank digital currency. They don't want you using Bitcoin. They want you using their stuff. That's where it gets a little shady to me is on the crypto side. Like, be careful there. You know, your mileage may vary. But for me, it's real estate, gold, and silver. It has for 5,000 years, going back to the Romans, rental properties. I don't think anything's going to change there. So thank you for that question. I love Robert. I mean, he's nailed a lot of things, but I think that it's easy to say there's a massive banking collapse coming, but well, it's not easy to say it. I know it's difficult to say it, and he's been warning us about it. And I've been talking about the coming banking collapse in terms of smaller banks being gobbled up by bigger banks. But at the end of the day, it's the Fed that's propping them up and then wants the total control. So what does a collapse actually look like? To me, it's not really a collapse so much as a consolidation of power. So maybe that's whether we change the terminology into a consolidation of power. Read the World Economic Forum's own documents, guys. Understand their documents. Understand exactly what they want. Unelected globalists who want control. As Klaus Schwab has said, you know, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. They want to have control and they want to dictate what you will do with your time, attention, and energy. And it's really, really troubling. But don't let that stop you from being smart with your money and investing in actual assets, because those aren't going anywhere. And we only have so much land available and only so much gold and silver available as well. So thank you for that. That was a tough one here at the end here to swallow. I don't want to scare all of you folks out there, but you know, that's what these big banks are doing right now. So pay attention to them. So if you'd like to leave us a voicemail question about the end of the world or whatever else is going to happen to us, my God, the banking collapse piece is just one part of this. I'm more concerned about the impending war with Iran and what that's going to look like to supply chain and tens of thousands of people being killed in the Middle East. Like that's what I'm focused on right now. What's going to happen in the Suez Canal and what's going to happen over there. It's absolutely insane right now. So let's keep our fingers crossed, folks, that cooler heads will prevail, we hope. Leave us a voicemail question. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon. Leave us a 30-second voicemail question. We'll try to get to it here on the show. Until next time, everyone.